Welcome to the Women and Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. Esther is a respected leader in the field of personal financial advice with over 25 years of experience. After going through her own significant and challenging life-changing events, she overcame fear and self-doubt to launch her own successful advisory firm. Now Esther is ready to share her practical and personal experiences to help other women clear their hurdles and brave life's transitions. In this way, she inspires women to lead fulfilling and confident lives.
Hello and welcome to Women and Wealth with Esther Szabo from Gates Pass Advisors. Esther, how are you?
Oh, Eric, we are doing great here. All of me and my personalities. I'm just saying we're doing great in California, although it's incredible weather here. It's beautiful spring weather, 70 degrees, except, and our guest will attest to this as well, those of us in California are concerned because there's no rain, and no rain means a concern for fire season. So, bit of a mixed bag, but very happy, glad to be with you again, and so excited for our guest.
Absolutely, and please introduce the guest.
Well, our guest today is Christy Royce. I love Christy. We met a number of years ago, over 6 years ago, we're part of the same networking organization that requires that all attendees be vetted for having at least 10 years experience in the professional services area. Mm-hmm. And Christy is a founder and CEO of her firm, KLR Consulting. And what she does is provide incredible coaching support for amazing presentations, as well as helping people continue to excel in their leadership roles and attain personal goals, whether it's in an organization, in their own business, or in a variety of places in life to be successful. So, Christy, I am so glad you're here. How are you doing today?
Oh, Esther, thank you for the wonderful welcome. I am thrilled to be here and really looking forward to sharing with the audience some great best practices today in many different areas.
And you have so much to share. I know that we will not have enough time to cover everything, but I will say, Christy, part of my experience with you is that you are such a great presentations coach that you have ruined my ability to sit through other people's presentations that were not created by you. And I will come back to that and say what I mean there. But how would you describe yourself and what you do?
Oh, thank you, Esther. Well, when we think about presentations, if I narrow down in that one aspect of my business, I always ask the question to my clients, what do you consider a presentation? A presentation is not necessarily getting on the stage in front of 1,000 people. I call a presentation a pitch moment. And we all encounter perfect pitch moments every day. Are we successful? Are we confident? Or are we not? It could be maybe you're an employee and you have a great idea you want to present to a supervisor. Maybe you're in a client meeting and they throw you a curveball and you're not sure how to respond to that question. Maybe you're simply asked to share your opinion in an all-hands company meeting. These are all pitch moments. And we have to remember that in all of these conversations, you are the message. Words just support. You sell.
And no, that's fine. I stepped on you. But what is that? There's statistics about your being the message versus the words. What is that ratio?
Yes, exactly. That communication, 7% words and 93% tone of voice and body language. So it would be so easy for me, Esther, to walk up to you and say, gosh, Esther, nice shirt you're wearing today. You know, my words say one thing, my tone of voice and body language, though you can't see my body language, says something else. So really thinking about, from a powerful presentation perspective, how are you showing up in all three of those elements? Tone of voice, words, body language.
And you are such an effective coach at really providing that uplifting feedback. It's like how we work with, as we're working with clients on their personal finances, it's not just a one note response. It is checking in with what we're seeing too in terms of body language and what we're picking up as well. And so I love that you focus on that in terms of presentation, because it's so easy, especially as women. You can, you know, in your experience, it's probably similar with men, but I think as women, we tend to be super hard on ourselves. Do you find that when you're working with women?
Oh, Esther, absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up, because it's what we find in working with women is that women will only step on that stage, regardless of what stage it is, if they are 99% confident. Men will step on the stage if they're about 62% confident. So a lot of the work that I do with women, and I know this so pertains to your work as well, Esther, is helping them enhance their competence. Because one of the things that we bring to the stage with women and with men, we call it the four C's. Competence leads to confidence, leads to credibility, leads to courage. Mm. And you are not going to have the courage to be your best self unless those other three C's are in place.
And how do you coach people to have that confidence?
Well, you know, knowledge is power, first of all. So a lot of the work that we do is helping kind of dig the stones up and help them figure out what they want to be doing. And this is where goal setting really comes in, that really thinking about what do they want to be when they grow up? You know, I even go back to, I chuckle a little bit, but I'm sure most of us have read the book, The Little Engine That Could. Well, if you think about that little train that was trying to get up that hill, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. So many of us are there. I know I certainly was there. And not having the competence, the confidence to even know where that little train was going, let alone how to get over the hill. And so that's a lot of the work that I do, similar for you, Esther, is let's first figure out where we want to go. And that's where developing your personal strategic plan comes in. You know, what is your vision? What is your mission? What do you want to be when you grow up? Regardless if you're 18 or if you're 65, it really doesn't matter. You know, and it's putting those steps in place.
Right. And it is, I love that opportunity first to say, wait, where do we want to go first? I know we were recently, I think it was yesterday, I don't know that everything goes so fast anymore, but we were talking with a client and she is in her early 50s. She has tons of interest in lots of things. And she said, this is my challenge, is that I find something I'm interested in and I go super deep. And then that keeps me entertained, occupied, focused, fascinated for several months, and then boop, I'm on to the next thing. And when we asked her just one of our very first questions, which is what makes you happy, she had an incredibly lengthy response. Actually, her first sentence is, well, I don't know. And then she went on for about 10 minutes. And it is this piece about checking in first, about where do people want to go? What do they want to be doing so that we can help guide them to get there? If you're working with someone who gets nervous and doesn't have that confidence even to bring ideas to their boss or to their management team, where do you go from there?
Well, I always say, Esther, there is no way you can give a good talk unless you have something worth talking about. So we really help them map out that destination, because if you don't know where you're going, your audience will never get there either. Mm-hmm. So it's really helping them build that structure around presentations, on goals, on leadership, on no matter what it is really thinking about what does that map look like? Again, where is that little engine going over the hill? Mm. And just like as you mentioned, you know, what makes you happy? We have to ask these questions and then help people get outside their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Because we love to stay in our little cocoons. And that's where some of my great expertise and talent comes in, is helping stretch people outside that comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think about a great story. Gosh, Esther, back to 9 years ago, I actually met a gal, Sarah Tanisi is her name. I met her working out, and she was in a job that she was so, so stressed and uncomfortable in. And she told me a little bit about what she wanted to do. And next thing you know, I am coaching her to start her own business. Well, yesterday, she celebrated her 9th anniversary. And she sent me an email. I just get chills as I say this, because what she said to me was, working with Kristy may be one of the best decisions I ever made. Mm-hmm. That I grew more as a leader, an entrepreneur, and a person than at any other point in my career. She kicked my butt, but here I am, 20 employees and 9 years later.
Oh, that's amazing, Kristy. And I can completely understand how she could have written that letter and acknowledgement. What did you see in Sarah that really helped her get to where she is today? How did you lead her?
I saw a passion, and more than anything else, helped her understand and deal with. And she also, Esther, was in that, you know, we talk about the growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. In fact, if you have not read that great book, I highly recommend it. But she had this growth mindset, but she did not have those four C's we talk about: the competence, the confidence, the credibility, or the courage. And together we found and capitalized on those four C's and knew that, yeah, success without a plan is just an accident. So we figured out her plan, and she took that passion and knowledge and expertise. And though very scared, though very fearful, she did it.
I just appreciate the parallels as we work, as I've worked with you, as we work with clients, and you do the same. It's so much more than, as you say, the words of a presentation, that it is about a whole vision. And while it takes a guide walking alongside to say, this is where this is great. Oh, this is where we need to do a bit of work. It's okay. We have to do some work there. And to watch people step through to the other side, it's a great thing we get to do in our work, isn't it, Kristy?
Oh, gosh, it's so true. And what does that other side look like, Esther? And sometimes people are not aware of that other side because, as I alluded to, they're in their little cocoon. But it also has to be done in order. And that's another align. That's another place where our businesses align. It was, again, so interesting as I was preparing for today, Esther. I think that just the cosmos were coming from outer space, because there was a great blog by Seth Godin, if again, fabulous writer as well. And he wrote this blog today, and he called it The Order of Operations. And four sentences. He says, if you put the jelly on before the peanut butter, the sandwich will fall. And if you try to spread the peanut butter on the plate and then add the bread, it will fail even worse. Like so many things, the order is not optional. And yet, we often do the least scary or easiest parts first. Mm-hmm. We've got to get outside our comfort zone.
Oh, that's a great visual and a great example. And it's true. The easiest thing first is often, you know, you call it being in the cocoon. And in behavioral finance, we call it maintaining the status quo. Like, the brain just likes to maintain status quo. It feels safe. And our brains are set up to keep us safe. So isn't that thing about public speaking that it's one of the scariest things that people do? And yet, if we can help people, and again, talking about finances and personal finances and our financial future is also very scary. So if we can help people break it down into reasonable steps, like put the bread first, grab this tool or the peanut butter or this resource and add it next, and then step back and take a breath and go to the next one. It's just breaking it down into manageable steps for people.
And Esther, one of the best practices that I find so resonates with people about regarding steps with presentations. I call it the why, the how, and the what. The why is your opening, and it is, why should I care? I say goldfish have the attention span of 9 seconds, humans 8. So you better grab their attention quickly, or they're going to be checking their email.
Right.
So that opening is so critical, but it's the opening about them, not about you. You've got to think about who your audience is and what is going to grab them that is going to get them to care. Why should I care, and why should I listen to what Christy has to say? The how is all of the content. And what we find the most arduous element to giving any presentation is not what to include, it's what not to include.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you figure out your map, your destination, like we've been talking about first, it's so much easier to figure out what that information is you want to include. So that's the how. How am I going to get there? And then the what is the call to action. And this is a step that many people miss. The call to action is really, it's your closing, but it's really thinking about what is going to be different for those audience members when they walk away from that presentation.
I mean, so what is going to be different in terms of, the why, the how, and the what. And then when you say what is going to be different for them? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, thank you. What we find frequently with presentations is that they do not end with a bang that says, okay, what we expect is you're going to take this information and you're going to go back and share it with your teams. Or let's make sure that you set a goal when you walk away from this presentation and you're going to do these three things differently. Or something that motivates them to take action on what you just shared with them. And this is where communication really comes in, because one of the challenges we see with our leadership teams is they will end a presentation / meeting, and everybody has different perspectives on what they're to do differently. So really clarifying that before the conversation or the presentation ends leads to greater communication, collaboration, and action.
So there's a couple thoughts that I have. One is, I think one of the great benefits of working with a coach, and I understood this, what you're just saying, you know, different people will hear different things in what's being said. And so working with a coach like you is so helpful in terms of the feedback about clarity. We find this with planning often, is we will say, okay, this is how we're laying this out. And a husband will hear it differently than a wife, or a wife will hear it differently than their mom, for example. And it's so helpful to have that ability to do a circle back and say, how did this come across, or what did you hear? Rather than making the assumption when we're going out to do some public speaking of any kind, I really appreciate your definition. It doesn't have to be on a stage. Rather than working with the assumption that what we mean is what people will hear. How often do you think people are misunderstood in their messaging?
97% of the time. And Esther, one of the reasons for that is we grew up with the philosophy of the golden rule. If everybody remembers the golden rule, treat others the way we want to be treated. That is wrong. Sorry, Grandma, it's wrong.
How could that be wrong?
We approach from the philosophy of the platinum rule, which is treat others the way they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And that's when I talk about that 97%, it's because we are communicating the way we want to be communicated to. And that's where I bring in to a lot of my team coaching and leadership coaching a tool called the DISC assessment. And what that DISC assessment allows us to do is to better understand how to adapt and adjust our communication style depending on whom we're working with. So when we have a better understanding and an awareness and an acceptance of different communication styles, I find that 97% shrinks immensely.
What, tell us about the DISC assessment. What is that?
Well, it's basically a tool that helps everybody understand what are your innate strengths and challenges, and what type of communication do you prefer, and what type of communication stresses you out. So, for instance, if you're working with somebody who is a high D in DISC, which basically means their dot lands in the D quadrant, high Ds are direct. High Ds are driven. High Ds want to get to that finish line no matter what it takes. So I always say, when you're working with high Ds, be prepared, be brief, and be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way everybody communicates. So high Ds could check out 10 minutes before your presentation is ended, but you're still back on slide 12.
Mm-hmm.
So really thinking about, again, and I won't go into all the different styles because there's so much that I could share, but it's really, again, learning about each other.
Yeah, learning about each other and how, or even allowing for that space to be there about, okay, this is me, but who am I talking to? Who's my audience? I know that we don't do DISC with our clients, but we do a couple assessments about communications assessments, which do reveal to us how clients want to receive information. Do they want things ahead of our meetings? Do they want a synopsis after meetings? Are they very bottom line or are they visual? And that has been very helpful, which I never thought of, Christy. Honestly, I'd been doing this for 20 years before that was suggested to me. I just assumed that people wanted to receive the information the way that I would want to receive information and always geared my meetings that way. And it has made a big difference. The feedback I've gotten recently from clients are like, oh, I just appreciate, we did this through a third party, but appreciate how she tailors so much. And it's only tailored because of the information that we've taken the time to find out. And I appreciate that that's very much part of presentation. What do they want?
Absolutely. And Esther, gosh, accolades to you for sharing that assessment with your clients and then utilizing that information, because that is a perfect example of the platinum rule.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you've done that, see, you're doing it right. Grandma might be upset, but that's okay. You have figured out the platinum rule. And that's exactly what it's about. How do people want to be communicated with? What works for them? What doesn't work for them?
And I want to shift gears a little bit to talk about this imposter syndrome that can occur with women, where we are so worried about not getting it right. And it can happen in finances, where on the outside, everything looks fine, but there's this incredible amount of perhaps shame inside that on one particular area of life, whether it's spending or income tax preparation or savings, it's not what is perceived that everyone else is doing, that there's a feeling of, oh, I'm so behind or I'm so different. And what I find, that is very pervasive in the personal finance area. How do you see it? Do you encounter that as well when you're coaching clients?
Absolutely. And where I see the imposter syndrome so challenging for female leaders in particular, are really two things. One, they are challenged with advocating for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And two, with that, negotiating. So again, I went back to, women will stand on stage when they're 97% confident and men 63% confident. It's very similar when you're negotiating for a salary increase. Men will walk in the office saying, hey, done the work, I deserve it. Women will walk in the office with 20 pages of notes to prove to whomever they're presenting to they have earned this. And so again, advocating and negotiating for themselves, they are so focused on that. And then the one other area that I just mentioned about imposter syndrome is what I call the guilt factor about being a woman and being a mom and trying to juggle it all.
Yeah.
That's arduous for people. And somehow men do not seem to have the same stress factor around some of that guilt factor that can creep in.
Right. And it's so true. And it's especially come up. There was a great article in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago about the shift in that. It's a tremendous shift over the past 50 years, women entering the workforce or re-entering the workforce and then requesting that, demanding that salaries come up to equivalent, which they're still not. And then now with this, you know, with women who are leaders in their 30s and 40s, it's not true across the board, but there seems to be more of an ease about how they address work-life balance. It's not fixed by any stretch of the imagination. But some of those that they interviewed said, you know, I work it out with my kids. These are the days that I will be available and at home for your games, your plays, et cetera. And these days I will be not available. And there is, it seems like, a growing trend around comfort with allowing those two roles. But I think there's still a long way to go. What do you think, Christy?
There is a long way to go. And at the same time, I do agree with what the Wall Street Journal is posting here. And I will share, Esther, I think that is one benefit of the shelter in place. I think that both men, women, and children are becoming more comfortable with the definition between home and work, because we've had to blend it all together. And boy, I remember back, what, about this time last year, the first webinar that I, or excuse me, the first Zoom offsite retreat I facilitated. And I will never forget one executive that was in this retreat, again, that we're having over Zoom. Her son ran in and did something silly in front of the camera, you know, a young kid, and we all kind of chuckled at it, and she was horrified, embarrassed, horrified, didn't know what to do. Well, I facilitated a retreat yesterday, and we had kids coming in and out, we had dogs coming in and out, and everybody's laughing and having fun, and, oh, introduce me to your dog. And so I do think that one, again, benefit is I think we've loosened up a little bit around some of those factors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are sometimes the highlights, nothing personal of the Zoom calls. You know, like, oh, this is, we just did one with a client, and Eric, my associate, he was home with his baby and his toddler, and the clients came on, we were there, and I even forgot to acknowledge the clients. We were also entranced with the children.
I love it.
Something different. So as we wrap up here, just to go a little bit personal with you, how did you come to this line of work?
Well, gosh, it's back to that little engine that was trying to get up the hill. I was working as a senior executive of a major corporation and very frustrated, very unhappy, and very disappointed. Yeah, I had moved across the country to take on this role. I thought it was going to be my final career move with the stock options and all this great money I was going to earn. And I got back there and saw the writing on the wall and said, this is not what I expected it to be. And the biggest challenge was the executive team could not figure out who they wanted to be when they grew up as a company. So I finally said, I'm done. I naively am going to move back to California and start my own business coaching leaders. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't have a destination. Like I said, you can't get there if you don't know where you're going. But I just said naively, I'm going to hit the ground running. And through major hurdles, what I learned after a few years, Esther, is the importance of developing a strategic plan. And after I got through some of the difficult times and challenging times, building that plan, I have never looked back one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've developed my core values. I've developed my mission statement and my vision statement. And I am doing the work that I love. And even after 20 years, you know, it's hard for me to turn it off because there's nothing that drains my energy because I know what clients to take on and what clients not to take on and where I can refer those clients to outside resources.
Right. Who's a fit?
Yeah, exactly. So any type of leadership or these powerful presentations that we talk about, or I say, send me a team that's dysfunctional and I'm in seventh heaven, because if I can help them work through those challenges, I love it. So I guess my coaching to all of you out there is find that vision, find that goal. Have people like Esther help you to figure out from a financial perspective how you can get there. Don't be naive like I did and say, we'll just figure it out. And then 4 years later say, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Figure out the plan. My famous phrase is success without a plan is just an accident. You know?
And what I appreciate with that is if somebody is listening out there and who is saying, I've tried so hard to figure out my mission and vision and all of that, and it is challenging to do. That is part of what each of us in our respective careers and roles serve. That's what we do, is coach and guide and learn and understand, but bring solid expertise to the table to keep. I know what you've done for me and you continue to do for me, Christy, is just help with keep it simple. Where are we going? Let's just keep the focus. Because for me in public speaking, I can get very overwhelmed with, just as you said, all the things I want to share. And then you go, oh my gosh, there's so much. How do you put this into 30 minutes without just constantly talking at people for 30 minutes? And you are so helpful with saying, I think of the big piece of marble. You know, what do we chip away and what do we leave as part of the picture? And so I am so appreciative of what you bring, and that I get to have you as part of the team of resources available with Gates Pass in terms of referrals and who can help our clients really attain the confidence and the credibility and move forward with the courage that you talk about. So thank you so much for being here today. I know there's so many other places we could go, and I'm just so glad we got to spend a half hour together today.
Well, it was my absolute honor, Esther, and thank you. And I will just close by sharing the little engine that thought they could get up the hill. Now the mantra is, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. So thank you so much. Been my, as I said, been my true pleasure and honor. And boy, to work with you and Eric and your great team is amazing. So thank you. I wish everybody a great afternoon.
Christy, thank you again. And before we let you go, I understand that there's some other things you want to share about how people can reach you. I'll turn it back to you.
Oh, thank you, Esther. Yes, please. Any questions about what was shared today? My email address is Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at KLR Consulting. Best place to reach me is there. And I have so many tools that I would readily share with everybody. I have a great tip sheet on giving presentations virtually as well, and be more than happy to share that tip sheet with all of you. So please feel free to reach out. Also some great tools on the strategic planning process. So happy to, and look forward to hearing from all of you.
Thank you, Christy. And Eric, I will turn it back to you.
I'll tell you what, this was fantastic. So many epiphanies, Christy. Thank you so much for that. I, for instance, I've been making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches wrong for years. Just I grab a spoon and I'm lost from after that. That's it. I just lose it. So thank you so much. What it was such a great time listening to the two of you. Obviously, you guys have tremendous chemistry from working together for all those years. So again, Christy, I want to thank you for being on the show. Esther, of course, thank you for bringing her on the show. You have such a plethora of amazing guests. I look forward to the next one as well. And of course, our last thank you goes to you, the listening audience. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Women in Wealth podcast with Esther Szabo. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Esther comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Gates Pass Advisors, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Wealth podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you receive notifications of new podcasts as they become available. Check out the website at www.gatespassadvisors.com for more information. This content is developed from sources believed to be providing accurate information. The information in this material is not intended as tax or legal advice. Please consult legal or tax professionals for specific information regarding your individual situation. The opinions expressed and material provided are for general information and should not be considered a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security.